You heard how it went down. Now, time to sum it all up. This is Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices. One call,
here's Payne, that's drives all. In, opening his shot, blocked from behind as it closed in a hurry. Guess who? The Greek Freak.
Recap everything you need to know about this game right now.
He'll fade, he fires, and he rips the cords on a silky, smooth shot. Chris Middleton, 40 points. He's got it on the right wing. He wants more. Three ball, why not? Cash Money Middleton.
He's been getting after it all day, chirping all game long. But guess what? He's going home with that L. Take that walk to the bench, Jay.
Now, here's your host, your analyst, and your MC for the evening.
Make some noise!
Justin Garcia.
Yeah!
All right, this is a big week. The best week we've seen from this team all season long. Best stretch of basketball we've seen from the Bucks since the playoffs as well. They've had a couple of moments where it looked like they were starting to turn the corner, one step forward, one step back. We've said that a lot on this program throughout the season. I don't care that there was no Chris Paul. I don't care that Devin Booker didn't play in this game either. This is a really good Phoenix Suns team. And we heard those words of caution from Coach Mike Budenholzer before this game, that they do a good job, they being the Suns, playing with whoever it is on the floor. They've built a great environment. They play together. They're tough. They execute extremely well. This is a ridiculous clutch team. Some of the metrics in the clutch, 5 points or less in the final 5 minutes or less of a game. The Suns' numbers are video game numbers. And what Devin Booker and Chris Paul specifically have done, it's extended beyond those two. This is a really good team. 50-plus wins this season, the only team in the league that has won that many games. So I understand you can point to, well, their two best players weren't out there. DeAndre Ayton is still a pretty good player. Mikal Bridges is still a really good player. Cameron Payne is still a really nice player that could really thrive in an expanded role elsewhere. This is a good team, and this is a team that knows how to execute and close games out. The Bucks closed out the Hornets. The Bucks grinded out a win against the Miami Heat in what we called on Wednesday night their best win of the season, hands down. Friday night, they played around a little bit, had another poor third quarter, but looked terrific in the fourth quarter. And today, the Phoenix Suns led for a majority of the game. If you look at the lead chart, Bucks led a little bit early. Phoenix took over in the second quarter. It was up to double figures that the Suns led by at one point. And it wasn't until the final few moments of the third quarter where the Bucks wrestled that lead away. Even then, in the fourth quarter, back and forth play down the stretch until the man of the hour, Chris Middleton, took over with an absolute masterpiece, and he caps a terrific week for this Bucks team. Again, the best stretch of basketball we have seen from this team since the postseason, when the Bucks won an NBA championship. 855-616-1620 is the Acunet Mortgage Talk and Text Line. That is the number to get in touch with us today on Bucks Talk, which, as always, is presented by Gruber Law Offices. And I threw it out there on Twitter, but it's been a pain point for a handful. Are you worried about the Bucks? It seems like a lot of answers were yes, or, well, a little bit. I'm getting there. After these four games, for all of the concern that we had, you looked at this exact stretch on the schedule and you saw Charlotte, Miami, Phoenix, Chicago in between there as well, and this on the heels of, let's be honest, a very disappointing loss against the 76ers to go into the All-Star break, an even more disappointing loss against the Brooklyn Nets coming out of the All-Star break. You destroy the Hornets on Monday. You grind out a one-point win against the Heat on Wednesday. You beat the Bulls. It ends up being a six-point game, but you grind it out with your defense, and tonight it ends up being a 10-point win. This was a one-possession game for all intents and purposes. A lot of people were concerned, man, we could see an 0-4 or 1-3 by the Bucks in this stretch, and they go 4-0. Now, what you have in front of you, it's still going to be difficult. Back-to-back, Tuesday and Wednesday, but I've said it repeatedly in the last week. I'm going to keep saying it. I think this team is going to win 10 or more games in the month of March. And this is their stretch to really do some damage now with the Oklahoma City Thunder and the Atlanta Hawks, your next two games, that before you head out west. So really, a really good chance for a six-game win streak going into that Western Conference trip. The four games out there, the Golden State Warriors, who it's still a good team, but they've been in a bit of a slide. If there's a time to get them, it may be now. The Utah Jazz, who've been the opposite. They've been coming on strong. Then the Sacramento Kings and the Minnesota Timberwolves. The Timberwolves are a much better team than they have been in recent seasons, but this isn't the daunting. You got the Lakers in their prime. Lakers aren't good this year, but you got the Lakers, you got the Clippers, you got the Suns. Those stretches that really, you look at those and say, man, I hope the Bucks don't go 1-3. This is a stretch where that Western Conference trip, at the very least, you should be shooting for 2-2. The path is there for 10 or more wins in this month of March that we all said, there's a chance the Bucks are going to finish in the play-in tournament. But now what a difference a week makes, where they go 4-0, they have real impressive wins in that week. And oh, by the way, the Bucks and Sixers are tied for the second best record in the Eastern Conference. Again, 855-616-1620 is the number to get in touch with us today on Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices. When we return, we can't put it off anymore. The absolute heater that Chris Middleton was on today, one of the best, if not the best, we've seen him play in a regular season game here in Milwaukee. We'll talk about that. I gave some of the numbers about Drew Holiday's impressive fourth quarters the last 2 days. We have to spotlight that as well. We got to talk about Giannis because it's been under the radar. Oh, by the way, he could very likely be the franchise leading scorer by the end of this season. But I also want to dive into what we just mentioned a couple of moments ago. Bucks and the Sixers are tied atop the Eastern Conference. Now, the results in Boston may have changed things, but I do think we are going to start to see a lot of gamesmanship between the Bucks and the Sixers, because I think we're reaching the point where Heat, Sixers, Bucks, those three teams are probably going to start to separate themselves. Maybe the Boston Celtics have entered the chat and they're going to be in the discussion as well. But I think the 2-3, you're going to start to see a lot of gamesmanship here in the coming weeks. I'll explain why after this. Plenty of time to hear from you as well. Your concern level for the Bucks gone, getting there, or it's still lingering after this 4-0 stretch in the second half of the season. 855-616-1620. More after this on Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices.
This is Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices. One call, that's all. Welcome back to Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices. One call, that's all.
Programs here. Chris
goes right by everybody and floats it off the window and good with a right hand. He went past the swinging doors there. Bucks by two.
What a night for Chris Middleton. What a day for Chris Middleton. There, we said it again. But what a day from Chris Middleton. 44 points, obviously a season high. The NBA doesn't acknowledge postseason numbers, so this is technically the fifth career 40-point game from Chris. But the last time he scored 40 points in an NBA game was Game 4 of the Finals against the Phoenix Suns. 44 points today. 27 of those came in the second half. And, you know, Giannis started out incredible. I know we mentioned this on Friday night. The stretch that Giannis has been on, too, where it's kind of, it ties into what we mentioned of, hey, we should probably call attention to the fact that Giannis is probably going to be the franchise leading scorer by the end of the season. 19 points tonight means he trails Kareem Abdul-Jabbar by 314 games. There are 17 games remaining this season. I don't expect Giannis to play in all 17. I don't think anyone does. I think you would point to as early as Tuesday or Wednesday is one of the two games. If you told me he's going to miss a game in the near future, one of those two in a back-to-back. But if we say Giannis misses five games even to close out the season and plays in 12 of the final 17, he would need to average 26 points a game in those 12 games to become the franchise-leading scorer this season. This is not getting spoken about enough, that Giannis is going to be number one as early as this year, 27 years old, playing for a franchise. I know Kareem Abdul-Jabbar didn't spend his entire career in Milwaukee, but playing for a franchise where Kareem Abdul-Jabbar also played, and at the age of 27, you are going to be number one on that list. Absolutely incredible what he has done. There's a movie being made about him. There's the great book by Miran Fader that came out over the summer as well, chronicling his journey and his life. We've all heard the story repeatedly. But just put that in context and think about the last 4 years that Giannis has had to become a guy that's in the perennial All-NBA category. And another thing, by the way, if he's a unanimous first-team All-NBA this season, that's something nobody in the history of the NBA has done. Four straight unanimous first-team All-NBAs. And it's a foregone conclusion. Giannis, Jokic, and Embiid are the three guys leading the way for the MVP debate. He is going to be a unanimous choice. He is going to do something Michael Jordan has never done, LeBron James has never done. In these 4 years, just think about all that. First-team All-NBA, Defensive Player of the Year, two-time MVP, maybe three-time MVP, if he continues to play not so much like this, but what we've seen in the last couple of weeks. And oh, by the way, the Bucks keep winning. That's ultimately going to decide a lot as well between he and Joel Embiid. But the MVPs, the Defensive Player of the Year award, all defense, first team all NBA, NBA championship, something we thought was impossible in this city 10 years ago. NBA championship, NBA Finals MVP. And the franchise-leading score, all of that at 27 years of age. Absolutely incredible by Giannis. But I'm guilty of it, too. On a day we really should reserve as Chris Middleton Day, we mentioned Giannis. 855-616-1620, the Acunet Mortgage talk and text line. And what really stood out to me about Chris Middleton's performance today, he's a guy that I think what we've seen from Chris Middleton this season is basically what we've seen from the Bucks when we touched on in the opening segment. Yeah, it seems like the Bucks would play well, then they wouldn't. The Bucks would have a win streak, then they wouldn't. It's a losing streak. It would be, all right, I'm starting to see signs. They'd play really well in the first half, not in the third quarter. By the way, third quarter was pretty good today. But all of those signs that we saw and all of the looks like they're pushing that boulder up the hill and then they lose their footing and slide down, it was kind of the same for Chris Middleton most of this season as well. And look, we're not making excuses for him, but I do think the postseason speaks to that. The offseason, I should say. That this is a season that went all the way to July 20th. Chris Middleton, think about the minutes that he logged in the postseason. What was asked of him in those final three rounds especially, but those final two rounds where Giannis goes down, Chris Middleton closes things out. In the NBA Finals, we mentioned last time he scored 40 points, it was against the Phoenix Suns. Chris Middleton was great there as well. Then you get that really, really short offseason to end July 20th, and you're back to the normal NBA calendar, which means late September, October, we're going through training camp, and we're getting back in town, and we're going through things. In between those two spots on the calendar, oh, by the way, Chris Middleton and Drew Holiday went to Tokyo and participated in the Olympics. So with Drew, we didn't really see it consistently, but you've seen patches where you look at it and you say, just something seems off. And I think that something was the lack of an off season. Chris is starting to play much better, and it seems like Chris Middleton is starting to hit his stride. Same can be said for Drew Holiday, who has been terrific in the second half of the season. He was great early on. Then he kind of cooled off a little bit, and I think it was really the month of January that cost Drew Holiday a trip to the All-Star game. A month, by the way, where Drew Holiday or Chris Middleton played extremely well. But now it does seem as though both those guys who are going to drive a lot of the success for the Bucks, both of those guys are starting to come back into their own and starting to put together performances like this to win a game where you had far from the best from Giannis. But to get these performances from Chris and Drew says a lot about what this team features and why I kept saying, look, I know the numbers aren't great. I know we can look at things like clutch rating. We can look at defensive rating. We can look at the offensive rating, record versus teams with a winning record. Any of that you can look at and say, this isn't the same Bucks I saw last year. I get that. But I kept saying, and I still stand by this, I trust this team more than probably any team in the Eastern Conference. More than any team for sure in the Eastern Conference. I trust this trio because I've seen them do it before. The Miami Heat upgraded their roster. I do have trust for Kyle Lowry in the postseason. I do have questions for other pieces of that team. We've seen Duncan Robinson didn't have a great postseason last year. Jimmy Butler hasn't looked like the same guy since the run to the finals. The Chicago Bulls, teams that are hovering around there. We haven't seen the Bulls do it in the playoffs. The Cavs, you can say the same thing for. The Boston Celtics, we've seen go on a deep playoff run that same year the Heat went to the finals. But there's some unproven pieces there as well. Now, Jason Tatum, 50-plus again today. He's looking terrific. But there's a lot of teams when you look at the East. Even the revamped Philadelphia 76ers. Joel Embiid played great against the Hawks and played great in the playoffs last year. Joel Embiid played great in that series they lost to the Toronto Raptors in the 2019 playoffs. But Joel Embiid has not been consistently great in the postseason. James Harden has a checkered, at best, playoff history. Now, last year I'm willing to give him a pass for the injury. But this is a group that we've seen shine on the brightest stages and come up in those big moments to close out a Hawks team with Chris Middleton playing the way he did, with Drew Holiday hitting big shots. And, oh, by the way, you got Giannis. That's why I continue to say, I don't care how ugly it looks in the regular season, as long as they're in that position, I trust this team. And performances like what we saw from Drew and Chris today closing it out are the reason why you point to that trust. 855-616-1620. The Acunet Mortgage Talk and Text Line, a 4-0 week during a stretch of the schedule where I think a lot of people were concerned, what if we see a 1-3 record from the Bucks? They go 4-0. With that in mind, and with a chance, a really good chance at the win streak continuing here in these next two games, your concern level for the Bucks completely gone, getting there, or still lingering? 855-616-1620, the Acunet Mortgage Talk and Text Line. Few calls trickling in. We will get to after this on Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices.
Stick around. Bucks Talk continues next, presented by Gruber Law Offices. One call, that's all. This is Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices. One call, that's all.
Here's Payne, drives in, opening his shot, blocked from behind as it closed in a hurry. Guess who? The Greek Freak was trailing on the play and blocks it when it looked like all was lost.
My naked eye says it was clean.
Big block from Giannis there as well, but the story of today's game was Chris Middleton, 44 points, carrying the Bucks across the finish line in a 132-122 victory over the Phoenix Suns. Got some numbers and some updates on that dreaded, or at one point dreaded, clutch statistics for your Milwaukee Bucks. We'll share those with you in just a moment. Still doing a pulse check here on your level of concern, or where we're at with this Bucks team moving closer to the postseason. Are they back, getting there, or not quite yet after a 4-0 week against the Hornets, the Heat, the Bulls, and the Phoenix Suns? 855-616-1620 is the number to get in touch with us on Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices. And with that, let's head to the phone lines and head out to Shorewood. Talk with Mike. You're up next. How's it going, Mike?
How you doing, man? Ultimately, I got to say, 4-0, of course, the objective is to win the game. That's what they're doing, but I got to knock them slightly, especially a game today where the Suns are down their top two guys in Paul and Booker, and one of their best rotation players in Cam Johnson, and you really have to rally in the end and rely on that comeback there, capped off by Middleton, to win the game. It's just, this is a game you should probably blow them out to the Pfizer. So a little concerning. Obviously, you're happy they won the game and they can somehow always pull these rally comeback wins off, but you don't always want to live on the edge. And same thing with that Miami game against another elite team. Now, that was more impressive since they had all their starters there. But, you know, coming back like that in Chicago, obviously that was more of a – they Bulls had the lead in the fourth quarter, and they won it there. But I would like to see the Bucks play a wire-to-wire game where they don't really have to rely on, you know, a big run there late in the fourth quarter to pull this game away. But ultimately, you want to win the game, so you're satisfied that they're getting it done. But they want to just clean this up a little bit, especially heading into the playoffs. I don't think you're going to be able to continually pull this off. It's probably going to end up coming to bite you back in the end there. So hopefully this doesn't continue down the stretch here into the playoffs. But overall, you got to say they're happy. They're winning these games and against elite competition. Obviously, Suns, like I mentioned, were down, but still – you play who's out there. So the Bucks are 4-0. I thought they were going to go 3-1 minimum, but the good thing they proved me wrong. And now you got a team like OKC. You don't want to have a letdown. We've seen sometimes the Bucks where they'll beat an elite team and then they'll struggle again and lose there, coming off to a subpar team. Obviously, Oklahoma City is a rebuilding team, so I don't expect that to happen. But just clean that up. That's the only little complaint I have. But overall, I got to say, hey, Middleton, he's the whipping boy of Milwaukee when the team things don't go well, but they give him his roses today, man, because that was really impressive. That was like the playoff run this stretch. So he can do that, man. That's what I love about him and Drew Holiday. Obviously, Giannis is Giannis. He's always going to get all the shine, but those two guys are as important to this team and what they can do down the stretch. So good win today, man. But, hey, man, these Bucks fans, man, we're always living on the edge trying to pull out these games at the end. But hats off to them, and good win tonight.
Yeah, a good win, and the one thing that I would push back on is, I mean, we can't penalize the Bucks for winning if we're going to criticize them for not winning. That, you know, we can't say, why are the Bucks struggling? Why aren't the Bucks playing better defensively? Why aren't they closing teams out down the stretch? And then when they do that, we can't point to, well, who did Phoenix have on the floor? And it's still important to win these games. They didn't have a whole lot of clutch opportunities or games decided by one possession. For the longest time, the only one of those games that the Bucks had was against the Charlotte Hornets in a game that I think that was played December 1st. So you went this long stretch of the season without it popping up. December 1st, they won 127-125 against the Hornets. The next instance that the Bucks had, now they had a couple of four-point games, 4 points isn't one possession unless you're Chris Middleton. The next one possession game that the Bucks had wasn't for months. So they're getting more of those reps, which is very important. It wasn't until the final game before the All-Star break against the Sixers. But then it seems like every game played since then has been a one possession game. 3 points deciding the loss to the Sixers. 3 points deciding the loss to the Brooklyn Nets. 1 point deciding the win against the Miami Heat. Neither of these two games were a one-possession game, but they were a one-possession game all the way down the stretch. They were clutch games. Another area this team hadn't really gotten a lot of reps in and certainly hadn't excelled in. So I'm not going to penalize them for beating a Phoenix Suns team without Chris Paul, Devin Booker. Cam Johnson, you mentioned too. It's good to point out we left him off at the top. It's another big piece to this Suns team. But it's still a good Phoenix Suns team. A really good. That's even underselling them. 51-13 on the season is ridiculously good. 18 games left for the Suns. If they go 9-9, they win 60 games. They're the only team that's going to sniff 60 wins this season. They're 2-1 without Devin Booker and Chris Paul. Yes, those two wins are against the Blazers and the Knicks, but they played like crap the first half of that game against the Knicks and then came back and won it. A clutch, grinded out win. It's what Phoenix does. They beat the Portland Trail Blazers even without their all-star backcourt. They beat the Blazers by 30 points, and then they get beat by the Bucks today. So I mentioned some of the comments from Bud before the game over, look, don't rush to judgment that, hey, no Chris Paul, no Devin Booker, we won this game. This is still a really good team. It's a team that closes teams out. They play really well, whoever the personnel is on the floor. They execute. They can hit tough shots. This is a roster built very similar to the Bucks, where you got guys that are just very lengthy and rangy, and you can switch it up defensively. and you got a lot of shooting. The one difference is they don't have Giannis. They got Chris Paul, who's the floor general, and they got a really, really lethal scorer in Devin Booker. The Bucks have the best player in the league, two all-star caliber players around him, and then shooting and switchable players on defense. These are the two best teams in the league. Yes, the Suns were down their two best players and three of their best players with no Cam Johnson, but this is still a good win. So I'm not going to penalize the Bucks for doing something that we said they got to do more of. They did it. You can't hold it against them that Chris Paul and Devin Booker weren't on the floor. Season as a whole here, we keep mentioning the clutch statistics. So whenever the game is 5 points or less that the score is being decided by, in the final 5 minutes of the game, those moments are clutch situations. For the season as a whole, the Bucks have been in those clutch situations, I believe, 34 times. In 34 games, they've had those moments. They've won 18 of those 34. It's only been 95 minutes, though. Now, the Lakers have been close to 200 minutes that they've had in 5 points or less in the final 5 minutes or less. The Phoenix Suns, we mentioned, they have been absolutely ridiculous. They have had 31 of those games. The Lakers have had the most at 38. The Bucks are fifth. And a lot of that has come recently, but fifth with 34 of those. The Suns, though, are 26-5 in those 31 games. Their offensive rating in the clutch is 7 points per 100 possessions, better than the next best team, which has been the Clippers. Their defensive rating is 3 points better than the next best team, which somehow is the Washington Wizards. They're one of two teams that have a defensive rating in the clutch under 100. And their net rating, difference in their offensive performance and defensive performance, 36. It is three times as good, nearly three times as good as the next best team. The Suns have been a video game in these moments that we saw tonight. And yes, Chris Paul plays a big role in that. Yes, Devin Booker plays a big role in that. But they've been tough to beat regardless of who's on the floor. And the Bucks beat them at that game. Believe it or not, by net rating, suddenly the Bucks have been the fourth best team in the clutch this season with a 12.2 net rating. And the story for the Bucks has been their defense at 102.9. That is eighth best in the NBA this season. Through the first half of the season, we mentioned they're 18-16 overall. Through the first half of the season, the Bucks were 15-15. In the second half, obviously 3-1. Offense has been sixth best. Net rating has been sixth best. It's been this week. The Charlotte Hornets was the only game where you didn't have any of those clutch reps. In this week, the Bucks are 3-0. Second best defense, second best offense, fifth best defense, and second best net rating. The defense at 91.7 in these three games. And again, Suns 96.5 defensive rating has been the best in the league all season long. So in these three games, against the Heat, against the Bulls, against the Suns, the Bucks defense has played even better than what the Phoenix Suns have done all season long. Those are the signs you point to and say, going back to the previous point, I've seen these guys do it. I've seen Giannis and Chris and Drew do it. I trust that group to get it done in those spots in the postseason when it matters most. This week backs that up. Now, we did get some very, very encouraging news about Brooke Lopez. I mentioned it a little bit on Friday's show. We've all read the tweets and seen the reporting by now, but I do want to get into what that could mean for this Bucks team and how you utilize him moving forward because of a performance today you saw from Serge Ibaka, where overall, I think Serge Ibaka overall has been okay, trending towards okay, a little better than okay. He's been really good at keeping the seat warm, and he does give you the opportunity to play a little bit differently in the postseason. He has a little bit more of that lateral quickness and a guy that you can switch with somewhat. It's really difficult to do that with Brook Lopez, we know. You can do it with Bobby Portis, but you don't get any rim protection. You can do it with Serge Ibaka, and you do get the rim protection. So that's the one thing that was kind of missing from the Bucks' run in the postseason last year. Now, you don't have a P.J. Tucker. where you certainly can switch 1 through 5 with him. No rim protection there either. But it does add another wrinkle, especially if Brook Lopez, who we heard more encouraging things from Bud about Brook Lopez, especially if he's going to be back in time for the postseason, and hopefully sooner than that. But a tremendous game. We cannot say enough about what Drew and Chris did in this game down the stretch. We cannot say enough either. 314 points are what stand between Giannis and the number one scoring option, number one scorer in Bucks franchise history. You cannot repeat it enough. Tell everyone you know, hey, by the way, Giannis needs 314 games to pass Kareem for most points scored in franchise history. It is going to happen this season. And Chris Middleton continues to show us why he's an all-star. So I do want to get into the Brook comments and what Coach Budenholzer said about Brook Lopez before the game. We didn't mention George Hill. It's a wait-and-see mode with him. Be sure to check the injury reports and see how is he listed on Monday, because heard it again today, a little more optimism that George Hill's going to return this week, which changes things, especially in the clutch as well. But the additions of guys like Serge Ibaka, and we think George Hill here in the next week, DeAndre Bembry and Javon Carter, what that means for the second unit, given what we saw today from Jordan Wara. 855-616-1620 is the Acunet Mortgage Talk and Text Line. More after this on Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices.
The Hardwood Homilies continue after this. This is Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices. One call, that's all. You're listening to Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices. One call, that's all.
Here's Holiday, left of the lane. He's defended by Payne. Passes out to Middleton. Middleton on the left wing, working on Bridges' defense. He'll fade. He fires, and he rips the cords on a silky, smooth shot. Chris Middleton, 40 points for the fifth time in his career.
Fifth regular season game for Chris Middleton. Sixth time, including the playoffs, that he scored 40 points. 27 of the 44 that he scored today came in the second half. And in the fourth quarter alone, the Bucks outscored the Suns 41-32. And 33 of those 41 came from Chris Middleton. Chris Middleton and Drew Holiday. Spread the word how good Chris Middleton is, a deserving all-star, and also tell everyone you can. 314. 314 is the number to keep an eye on. That is what separates Giannis from Kareem Abdul-Jabbar for the most points scored in franchise history. 17 games remain on this season. If he plays in all 17, he would need to average 19 points a game, which he scored today. Even if he misses 5 of the final 17 games, he needs to score 26 points a game. And this year, he's the franchise leading scorer for the Milwaukee Bucks. 855-616-1620. The Acunet Mortgage Talk and Text Line. Haven't even touched in depth on the bench and a couple of very good performances that we saw today from maybe an unexpected duo. I want to get into that, but let's head back out to the phone lines. 855-616-1620 is the number to get in touch with us. Artie in Cudahy, you're up next on Bucks Talk.
Hey, how are you doing today?
Not bad, Artie. How are you?
Good, good. So just the overall picture for, in my mind, I guess, is that Giannis, Drew, Middleton, you know, championship pedigree, they're always going to bring it. I heard a couple different radio shows talking about the changes in the Bucks, losing P.J. Tucker. I actually feel very confident that we have a deeper rotation than last year. Like, last year, we couldn't even play Bryn Forbes. Like, he was unplayable for defense. This year, right now, missing George Hill, who can shoot and play defense. Lopez, you hope he gets back. Ibaka had a great step today. Wara looks like he could play some crunch time minutes. Today was a really big leap for him. Honestly, the only biggest concern I have for the Bucks are, like, I believe Pat Connaughton's, it was his shooting hand. And he was so hot, yeah. I wonder what it's going to be like when he does return. But overall, I see a much stronger squad, playoff and championship pedigree. I don't see there's any reason why they couldn't possibly at least get to the Eastern Conference Finals again. I feel much stronger about the team.
Yeah, so it's an interesting point that you bring up about the depth for this team, because I think we've been all over the gamut with it, where we've heard from the organization, we've heard from fans as well, hey, this is the deepest team that they've had. And then injuries start to occur. And I know every team has dealt with injuries this season, but the injuries that the Bucks have had have really exploited some of those areas where it is a deep team, but they're thin in certain spots. And it seems like the injuries have come there, which I think makes that depth look much worse than it actually is. But if we look back at the playoffs last year, because ultimately this is about 82 versus 16. We learned that the last couple of years, and it was really driven home last year, the way the Bucks played okay to really good down the stretch in the regular season and great in the playoffs, obviously. You know, the 2 years prior, great in the regular season, disappointing ends in the playoffs. Last year, it was Chris Middleton who played the most minutes in the playoffs, followed by Drew Holiday. 10 minutes separated that duo. Now, the reason for that, obviously, Giannis missing two games against the Atlanta Hawks. But Giannis, Chris, and Drew all played more than 800 minutes in the playoffs. PJ Tucker was fourth with 681 minutes in 23 games that he played in the postseason. And Brooke Lopez was basically even with him at 667 minutes that he played. 23 games from Brooke. So it averaged out to 29 minutes a game that Brooke Lopez played in the playoffs. I would be very surprised if we see him averaging basically 30 minutes a game in the postseason this year, given we don't know when he's going to return. But 30 minutes a game, basically, from P.J. Tucker and Brooke Lopez, the rest of it was basically Pat Connaughton. He played 550 minutes. Bobby Portis played 366 minutes, only 20 games from Bobby, who was absent most of that Brooklyn Nets series. And you mentioned Bryn Forbes. Bryn Forbes as well, only 20 games that he played in the postseason for the Bucks last year because of some defensive limitations. So he was at about 13 minutes a game, a huge drop-off after that. Now, the injury to Dante DiVincenzo certainly had a lot to do with that. If you look at what Dante was doing in those games that he played, he was averaging more than 20 minutes a game in that opening round series that he played against the Heat. So if you have Dante, it looks a little different. But this was a team that got by the skin of their teeth last year, where it was basically Giannis, Chris, Drew, PJ, take us across the finish line, and we'll sprinkle in whoever it is around you. Now, Giannis, Chris, and Drew, we know that duo is going to be there this year. Some of the other names that you mentioned, Brooke Lopez, look, what we heard from Coach Mike Budenholzer before the game today was there's no timetable that we'll share yet on Brooke, but there is a plan that's in place. And we recognize this is all about being flexible. You know, we know we have this internal plan, and he's not going to use timeline, but that means timeline. They have an idea of this is the date where Brooke Lopez is going to come back. Maybe not date, but week. This time frame, this is where we expect him to return. And as Bud said, he could exceed those expectations. It could take a little bit longer. But we're happy with how he's progressing, the work he's put in, how he's handled this whole situation. And you read between the lines, there's no reason to think we won't see him back here in the coming weeks. And I know our pal Greg Matzik and a few others have said, you know, March 22nd, somewhere around there, seems to make a lot of sense. I have no idea where it's going to be. I just feel very confident when you look at all these quotes from Bud, it's going to happen before the regular season. He was out here on the floor again today. He was on the floor against the Bulls before the game getting some shots up. So he's a guy, even if it's 15 to 20 minutes, you can get that from him. Bobby Portis, as we mentioned, the playoff minutes that Bobby Portis played last season for this team in those 20 games, 18 to 20 minutes a game that he averaged. Maybe a little bit more that you expect from Bobby Portis. But Grayson Allen, to me, as we said, you didn't have Dante DiVincenzo last year. I'm not saying Grayson Allen's going to play 30 or 35 minutes in the postseason, but the 20 minutes that Dante averaged against the Heat, I think you can expect that from Grayson Allen. He's played in the playoffs before. He brings some of that defense. Man, when you watch him, too, not just shooting, his ability to put the ball on the floor and finish at the rim, which ultimately was the biggest frustrating piece to Dante DiVincenzo's game. He can get to the basket. He just struggled to consistently finish. Grayson Allen does not. And you have Pat Connaughton. So in that sense, in terms of guys that you trust in the playoffs and can play in the playoffs, I agree that this team is likely, if they're healthy, they're deeper than they were a season ago. George Hill's another name we didn't mention. Serge Ibaka's a name that can get some minutes too. And once you got to that bottom of the list, once you got past Pat and Bobby last year, Bryn Forbes, you saw his warts. Jeff Teague, same thing. Elijah Bryant had to play. There wasn't a whole lot there. So if they can get healthy, and that's the big if, this is a deeper team for the playoffs than they were a season ago. 855-616-1620 is the Acunet Mortgage Talk and Text Line. Just a couple of minutes left on the program. We will preview what's up next for the Bucks, the next two games. And again, what the rest of this month looks like. My stance has not changed. They will win 10 or more games. Take a look at that after this on Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices.
This is Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices. One call, that's all. Welcome back to Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices. One call, that's all.
Chris Middleton into the front court, carrying his team in this one to the tune of 41 points. He's got it on the right wing. He wants more. Three ball. Why not? Cash Money Middleton. 44. And the Bucks lead by their largest advantage of 10.
Absolutely incredible today for Chris Middleton. 44 points. Big shots down the stretch. Same from Jrue Holiday. They carry the load. They lifted up Giannis, who started 7 of 7, by the way, and just 1 of 6 down the stretch before fouling out and finishing with 19 points. And the Bucks put the bow on a 4-0 week against four playoff teams. Charlotte Hornets, at least play-in tournament. Charlotte Hornets, Miami Heat, Chicago Bulls, and the Phoenix Suns. Their last three games against teams that were, at the time, 1 or 2 in their respective conference, and the Bucks grind out all three of those victories. Up next, Tuesday night in Oklahoma City, it's the Bucks and the Thunder. Thunder are not a very good team at home or on the road anywhere. This should and has to, frankly, be a win for the Bucks against the Thunder. It has to be a win because it's a very difficult schedule in March. So games like that, you got to beat the Thunder. You got to beat teams like the Sacramento Kings, who will be on the schedule later, 1 week from Wednesday, when you hit that West Coast trip. The Wizards, those are the games you have to win because you still have the Warriors, the Jazz, the Bulls twice more, the Dallas Mavericks, who have been red hot, the Boston Celtics, who have been playing well. There are still some, and the Memphis Grizzlies. Still some very difficult games on the schedule for the Bucks, so you got to win those games. But 4-0 now, a four-game win streak, I should say, since two disappointing losses before and after the All-Star break. 3-0 in the month of March. 11 games remain. I guaranteed the Bucks were going to win double-digit games, either 10-4 or 11-3. You got to go 7-3. 7-3 or 7-4 or 8-3 the rest of the way. You got to get these games like the Thunder, like the Kings, like the Washington Wizards. You do that, there's 6 of the wins. But Thunder and Hawks, back-to-back, it's going to be difficult. But these are the two easier games along with the Sacramento Kings that you have in the very near future. You got to keep it rolling. It starts on defense to carry that over. 2 o'clock, 7 o'clock, Tuesday. Tuesday night, 7 o'clock in Oklahoma City. 6:30 is when our coverage will begin with Buckshots. My thanks to DJ and Evan for producing the show and all you guys for hanging out for the last hour and your interaction on the program. We'll talk to you again Tuesday night with more Bucks Talk presented by Gruber Law Offices.